This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/stringchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/stringchicks. masterclass.com/stringchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome back to Shrink Chicks.
That was a delay for you.
I know. I'm just like, I was like amping myself up for the excitement.
That was like, I literally just watched Jen swallow a gulp of anxiety.
I did. And it's in my stomach out, now.
And breathe out false confidence.
There it is. There it is, guys. That's how you function in life, though, no?
That's how you function in life, for sure.
Right? But it works.
Probably many people listening to this. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you're listening to this and you understand those feelings, keep on going with your bad self.
Right. But it's funny, but like talking doesn't give me the same anxiety that it does for you.
It's really just the beginning. It's like right when I start talking, it's almost like, oh my God. So I'm really happy my husband doesn't really listen to this. Thank God.
He's never listened to a single episode, has he?
No, never listened to it. I'm so happy.
He has no idea what we talk about. Every episode could be about him and he would not know.
So no, he would never know. But I think his friends listen to it, so they'll probably tell him. And so... So what I was going to say is like, he's got a little bit of a stutter and it's like very endearing.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's so cute. When he like first starts talking, if he's like on the spot with something, he'll just like start stuttering. And so I think we connect on that level.
Well, it's funny also like at your wedding, you both spoke like during your vows.
Oh my God.
And it was like horrible. Two incredibly anxious people. Totally. But even Louie, the dog, got anxious walking down the aisle.
He knows. It's just so overwhelming. And to have to talk, oh my God. I can't believe we wrote our own vows. What is wrong with me?
That was so brave of you. No, it was so beautiful and so brave. Well, not what was wrong with
Bill,
you.
Bill wanted to do it, which also surprised me.
That surprised me too.
I know. So anyway, that was horrifying. But you know what? You got to push through your fears.
It's so true, right? Like it is this big thing about like, what is my fear about? Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Especially on this podcast, right. We would just delete the episode if it sucked.
Exactly.
We should tell listeners this, right? Okay. So we record an episode and it gets sent to Nikki, who runs the podcast, and then Brendan, our amazing editor, and he takes care of editing, but Nikki listens to it first and she like helps us. She writes the title and, you know, does like the notes and everything for it. But so we haven't yet have it that it happened. Then Nikki sends back an episode and she's like, this is so bad. You guys can't publish this. But we have this thing where... To protect our ego. If it ever happens, instead of her being like, that was really bad and having to like hurt us, she just says to us, Annie. And so where that came from, because the sun will come out tomorrow. So it's her way of saying like, it'll be better next time. But like this episode sucked.
And she doesn't have to straight up say that to our faces.
And
we just came up with a word.
And I would encourage a code word for many relationships.
I usually do recommend code words.
Right, and with couples therapy.
I say make them like kind of fun or like funny. Yes. Like come together and create it for yourselves. But I say in couples therapy, create a code when things are getting too tense, right? And you need some time to create a code word that basically says, we are going to take this amount of time and come back to the conversation if we can. Because when you're reactive in an argument, nothing gets accomplished. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nothing.
Anyway, and so we created this code word. It's so funny because us being therapists just translates into all of our relationships.
Every relationship.
We're like, why don't we create this word?
So that we're like, oh, well, but there was another part where like we were nervous that Nikki would get anxious having to say this to us, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we pay her, right? Like, it's a job. So at the end of the day, like, we love Nikki and like constantly tell her how much we're obsessed with her. But there's still times where she's like, you know, it's like scary to say to your bosses, like, oh, you fucked this thing up.
Right.
And we're like, oh, this will make it better for her. She'll just text us and say, Annie. And we all know exactly what that means.
It's so funny too.
So now if you hate our episode, you can message us and say Annie.
And just say Annie if you care about protecting our egos. If not, just let us know.
Just say the episode sucked. Now we're going to get 55 Annies in our...
I know. Oh my goodness.
So maybe I shouldn't have told everyone.
It's gonna be like, here we go. It's gonna be like, the podcast is now shut down.
Okay, but actually it's a great segue to get into because a bunch of, so today's episode is a Q&A episode, which we try to do like once a month because we get so many questions sent into us, right? So we try to go through them slowly doing this. But a bunch of questions today were really about like stress and anxiety and like sort of handling all that. So it kind of segues into this.
It's a perfect segue. Let's go for it.
All right, let's go for it. Okay, question we're going to start with today. The idea of quote unquote the one really stresses me out. How do I relax in relationships and stop self-sabotaging? Similarly, will I always have doubts in healthy relationships? What doubts are good or bad? So this person's talking about the idea of like the one soulmate, which we hate.
And we've said this multiple times.
We don't believe it.
We don't believe in it. And I was watching The Bachelorette.
Of course you were. Oh, you were? Knows. What a surprise.
Anyone surprised? And on it, so if anyone watches, she like marries this guy after like 12 days or like gets engaged to this guy after 12 days. And on it, she's like, oh, he's the one. And so I'm just thinking to myself, we had this whole episode or we've talked so much about how we don't believe in the one. And there's things that are perpetuating it.
Yes.
Right. Like when people are watching this, like it's perpetuating. And Nikki actually texted me because she knows that I watch. And she was like, I hope that you saw that. But let's talk about this idea of the one, because it's a perfect example of how this is perpetuated in media. We've been told our entire lives, when you know, you know.
Yeah. And let's also, here's another thing. Okay. I think when we talk about this idea of it being perpetuated, we're talking about when people start talking about the idea of the one. First of all, people didn't used to get to choose their own spouses. It was set up, arranged, or dowry. So, like, the idea of the one wasn't like my soulmate.
And that's
like,
still, here's my that one. Is still yes. the oh, key.
Absolutely. There's still tons of, absolutely. There's still tons of cultures that do this, right? So when we talk about the one, that didn't always mean soulmate love. Historically speaking, that was, I get one. So this is my own. Esther Perel always says monogamy used to mean one for life and now it means one at a time. So when we talk about historically, the one was the one for life. Now it's very different. So the other thing is people's options were much smaller than they were now.
Yes.
Right? Before, your option was your small town. Yes. Was your father's business partners, children, you know what I mean? Like really?
Yep.
It's now your options are like the entire fucking East Coast, depending on where you put your goddamn location on Hinge.
Right.
So it's just incredibly difficult. So when we sit here and talk about the idea of the one, mathematically, it doesn't work anymore.
It's as opposed to if I'm talking too about many
the,
options.
Yes. As opposed to like the one in my high school class.
Right. And you know what? We've talked about this before too, that if you are someone who has the ability, and I say have the ability because I do think that there are so many ways that this can be helpful. If you have the ability to question things in general, right? If you're an analytical person, if you take the time to really analyze situation, question situations, like that can be so helpful for you in so many ways. but it's very conflictual with this idea that there's this one person. And when you meet this one person, you will not have that ability to analyze things anymore. Like, you are still going to have that. And there's, once again, there's so many ways that that's helpful for you. It helps you to think through situations. It helps you to make decisions or take time to make decisions. It might take you longer to make decisions, but it's also going to pop up in ways that might give you more anxiety. Like this idea that there's the one, but also you have all of these questions about it, which is part of the way that you process things. It doesn't necessarily mean that this person isn't right for you, that you're not in the right relationship. And you might always analyze that in your relationships.
Yeah. So the idea of the one probably should stress you out. So this person says the idea of the one stresses me out.
Yes.
Me fucking too.
It makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
That is so much pressure, but it's also an outdated term. There's so much of our language that in the year 2020, we have to let go of. And I am lobbying for this idea to be one of them. And okay. That does not mean I don't love my husband. That doesn't mean I do not believe my I truly believe my husband is perfect for me. I do.
That's nice.
I do believe that, right? Like, I believe that we're really good partners together, we're really good parents together. And still, and he would admit the same thing, if we happened to be on different coasts, we would have probably met other people in another time and we would have made it work with them.
I think your vow said something beautiful that basically, our vows, right?
Well, my husband compared me to a sock on my wedding day. Is that what you're referring right. to?
Yes.
Which was in my vows. My husband said, I don't believe in the one, but I believe you're my perfect fit. Like, if I could choose you every day, I'll choose you. And I do think that's more powerful than some fucking like, oh, you're my one soulmate, right? Like, marriage and relationships in general are just about a ton of fucking work. Would you? Okay. So we had this conversation the other day about our own marriages.
Yep. I do remember that.
That like we had been before we got married, we were doing this work. We had read all the fucking books. We had taken all the classes and I still had no idea how hard that was going to be.
It is. Well, that's the thing. And I think people, you know, you just think about love and marriage when it's romanticized, that you're falling in love and it's something that's out of your control in some way. But you have to also make the choice to choose to love your partner every single day, mm-hmm. right? You're making it because they are going to do things that drive you fucking crazy. That is just part of being in a relationship, right? They are going to do things that are very supportive, loving. They are going to give you what you need. There are also going to be times where they do not give you what you need. Mm-hmm. And there are times in which you're going to feel disconnected. That, unfortunately, is part of being in a relationship. And also, fortunately, but I think we have this romanticized view of what relationships look like. And so when we are in the disconnection, we believe that there's something terribly wrong. When no, that is just part of being in a relationship. And I think it's so important we drive this home, because this person says, how do I relax in relationships? Relaxing in the relationship is almost saying to yourself, it is okay for me to go through good and bad times in this relationship, right? And that it's not about it being perfect. It's not about us never fighting. I am always more concerned when about the couples who come in and say, we never fight.
Yeah.
I'm like, red way flag. More concerned
about that. Big why red are we never fighting? There's not so fun. Much to fight about, right?
Yes.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
It's relationships.
You say we don't ever have conflicts. That there's probably a level of disconnection. So absolutely.
And you're not talking about something, right? Yes. Like arguments can be, they can be really productive because they start to give you an idea about what's not working in the relationship, right? But the goal is that you fight fairly. Mm-hmm. The times in which we get into trouble is when we're not fighting fairly. And so to really hone in on those skills, what that looks like, coming up with a code word when you know that you're being too reactive and you're hurting the relationship.
Good job, able, man. You brought it right back around.
Brought it right back around. All comes full circle, guys. but I think because I'm going back to the question, because I know we love to get off topic, but where it says, how do I relax in relationships and stop self-sabotaging? The self-sabotaging piece might be something separate, right? That is that necessarily connected to the idea of the one really stressing you out? So yeah. It's not about being stressed out about it. It is okay to be, it's okay to recognize, okay, this doesn't fit with how my relationship is functioning and how any relationship really functions. But what matters is what you do with that anxiety, right? It's not about not having the anxiety. It's about what you do with the anxiety. And so I wonder if the self-sabotaging is connected to how you're managing your anxiety in the relationship.
Well, and I just think there's been so much more literature that's come out in the past few years about anxious in love, or another term that's being coined, which is relationship OCD.
Yes.
Which is the ruminating thoughts about a relationship, that I think you could have this. Because I think that you could have ruminating thoughts and hyperfixation on anything. For some of us, especially if there's a fear of scarcity, if there's a fear of abandonment, if there's a fear of neglect, if there's a fear of not being good enough, whatever, we can then hone in. And I'm wondering if part of the self-sabotage is someone trying to hold them in too close. Right. So they start to I know this person's going to leave me, so I'm going to start doing my confirmation bias bullshit to make that happen. You're never going to commit to me anyway. So I'm going to start doing this fucking thing.
Away.
Exactly. Right. And so I would like to know if that's where the self-sabotage part is from. And then to slow that down and say what is the function of this, right? What's the function of what's happening here? And what am I trying to get out of this? And what is my fear in this relationship? Is my fear of divorce because my parents got divorced? Is my fear of being left because I'm already anxious about being single in my 40s? Whatever that looks like. And so will you always have doubts in healthy relationships? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, period. No, yeah. I'm not saying anything else than that. The answer is yes. It's black or white. It's totally normal to have doubts in healthy relationships, because it's also normal to have, be like, well, is this my dream job? Is this, do I like being a mom? Do I like my dog? Should I have gotten this dog? Right? We've talked about that before.
Right.
So what doubts are good and bad goes into that.
Absolutely. And also to think about when you are feeling anxious in the relationship, or fearful of what could happen, it is okay to talk to them about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And to, as long as you guys have healthy communication skills to say, hey, these are some of my fears that come up for me. They're not personal to you. But this is what comes up, and to really be conscious of how you might be handling those fears instead of pushing the person away. How do you communicate about it? How do you do your own self work so that you can recognize it? It's not about not feeling it. You feel it, and that's okay. Acknowledge it, express it. And then how do you manage it? Do you communicate about it? Do you self-soothe? Because the self-sabotaging might be coming from the way in which you're reacting to the fear.
And honestly, Jen, that is the perfect segue into another question we got, which is how to accept.
Yeah.
You're the best as always. How do I accept my partner's minimal flaws when you're an anxious person? This goes into that sort of what Jen just spoke to. It is not about accepting the flaws. That's not what this is about. This is about handling your own anxiety, right? We have to stop asking our partners to change all the time and everything and look and say, why is this so anxiety producing and triggering for me? So where is this anxiety coming from? What am I doing with it? How do I respond to it? And what coping skills have I developed as opposed to just getting mad at my partner that he doesn't make the bed or put his fucking laundry in the goddamn laundry thing, which my husband is the goddamn king of.
I was like, wait, I was like, all the cursing started happening. I was like, this has to be something that's happening currently as she's in her closet pulling out the laundry that is not
that is right next to the laundry basket, but somehow that pair of underpants never seems to just get in there. So here's my choice, right? I can make that a big thing and care about that and turn that into a fight, or I can just pick the pair of underpants up and put it right into the laundry basket.
Choose your battle. Yes. It's like when people say choose your battles, right? That I think, you know, if you're feeling anxious about your partner not putting their laundry in the laundry basket, that your reaction to that anxiety could be a bunch of things. And so if your reaction is yelling at your partner because they continue to do that, how does that affect the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to change that. The more you yell at them, the more you nag them. The only thing that you have control over is you. And so you could say to yourself, how do I deal with this when this happens? What's going to be the most productive thing for our relationship? Another example to think about is like when your partner is sad or they've had a bad day. I feel like this is very common in relationships where our go-to is to try to make them feel better, right? Yeah. Because we feel anxious. We want them to feel good because we feel anxious. And so the way in which we try to do that is be like, oh, like look on the bright side. Like,
oh God.
Cheer up. Let's, right? Okay. So the way in which we
toxic
try to-
positivity.
Right. The way in which we try to make them feel better. And listen, we're well-intentioned. We want them to feel good, but they need to be able to work through that themselves. So when we try to do that, we're actually invalidating their experience. Mm-hmm. And we try to give them advice when they're not asking for advice. They just want to like vent and let it out. And so in those moments, if you recognize that you're doing that, you are actually not holding the space for your partner. And so the goal there is to self-soothe your own anxiety in those moments. So you can be like, okay, it is not my job to make sure that they feel better right now, right? Mm-hmm. It is my job to be there as a support. It's my job to hold the space for them. And if you don't have the capability of doing that because you had a bad day, communicate that.
Yep.
You know, that, and that is a piece too, to be able to allow them to have the space to work through those things themselves. I don't know if that connects to the question.
It does. No, but I think it goes back to something really good, which is like, you know, you talk about this idea of like pick your battles, right? Obviously, we're not talking about abusive situations, right? Like that's never an acceptable thing. And so the same thing goes for emotional abuse, for financial abuse, you know, any of these things that we're talking about. But one of the things you can say is like, what is really, really important to me in a relationship? And this is not just a romantic relationship. We're talking about a business relationship, a platonic relationship, in my family relationships. Personally, for me, I really don't give a shit if my husband gets his friggin' dirty underpants into the laundry basket, but I really, really give a shit if I don't feel like he has my back and he's standing up for me in situations.
Right.
Right? Like, for me, that causes rupture in the relationship. The dirty house, whatever, that's really not a problem. And so for you to say, like, to sit and get quiet with yourself and say, like, what actually causes ruptures in my relationship, right? I'm trying to think of one, an example we would have in our business relationship. What would be, like, a rupture? I guess lack of transparency.
I feel like we've worked through
anything like that, right?
You know, like that. That took time, though, you know?
Yes, it did. I mean, we've owned a business for almost 7 years now. Oh, I would say, God, it took the first five of them to get our relationship really solid.
100%. And now I feel like there's nothing, at least on my end, there's literally nothing that I think we haven't
If it was going to, right? So I would say, like, if one of us felt like the other one wasn't being transparent, like they were doing, felt like you were doing, like, like starting a another business relationship with someone else.
Oh God, what would that bring up for me? What would that bring up for you?
Would that not be hard for you? What would it bring
up
for me?
It would be so hard for me.
It's always abandonment, not good enough, neglect. Like, those are my go-to primary things, right? So, like, if I felt like you were all of a sudden like, oh, I'm going to go do this side hustle over here, that would definitely be difficult for me because we do most of our business ventures. And at the same time, if that was important for you, I would need to not sabotage our relationship, deal with that myself, and work through that to continue our relationship. Just don't do it to me.
First of all, I would never, because I think that would bring up a lot of jealousy for me on my end.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why our relationship works really well is because we're both therapists and we know, like, if that was coming up for me, I would have the same, like, okay, how do I process through this jealousy for myself so that I can support you? You know what I mean? Like, that we have the ability to really think through what it's bringing up for us.
Yeah.
So that we can, and, you know, if it got to the point where, like, it was coming out, we would have to communicate about it. First of all, we don't have time to start other business ventures.
We don't have time to do anything.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
That would be
okay,
wild.
No. Okay. But here's, like, a really great example we'll use, right? Okay. Yeah. So last year, this time, we were going through a really difficult business transition of some hard stuff that was happening. By chance, Jen goes on a 2-week honeymoon.
So sorry.
While it was all fucking blowing up, it was obviously planned.
Like, peace.
And so Jen hopped off, man. So I was sort of left, but at no point was I sitting there being like, "Oh, fuck Jen, having the time of her damn life in Thailand." You know what I mean? Like, at no point was that. It was just sort of like, "All right, clearly, this was just the way the cookie crumbled. Here's how we're gonna handle it." And also, you were so good about, like, checking in on me. Like the entire time, you're like, "Hey, how are you?"
I felt horrible.
Yes, because you felt so damn guilty.
I felt so bad. Just wasn't great timing.
But it's like sitting there, but Jen could have totally turned away from me and avoided because of she felt guilt. And that's, like, another thing that guilt can do. Oh no, did you want to do that?
No. I was going to say that, like, perfectly. No, not, first of all, not at all. Second of all, that perfectly transitions us into another question. Yes. And did you do that on purpose? Because
I may have thought about it. Yeah.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, so the next question somebody wrote in about is how to deal with guilty thoughts that come with setting boundaries.
Oof. This is such a good question, especially for us personally.
Okay, so let's go deeper with that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, here's the thing that we always have to remember. It's like, what will happen if you set them? What do the guilty thoughts tell you? What does that say about you as a person? What does that say about your worth, who you are, how lovable in this world, right? So for a lot of us, the fear is if I set a boundary, I will be rejected or I will be then left out, mm-hmm. right? If I say no to going out with my friends tonight, they're never going to invite me again.
Also, what did you learn growing up about setting boundaries? What does that look like for you in your family, right? So like an example would be when you were younger, didn't want to do something or wanted time to yourself, right? But you weren't allowed to lock your doors, right? Or you weren't allowed to close your doors in your mm-hmm. family. That's a very good example of that boundaries were very diffuse in your family. People could just walk in whenever they wanted, that you weren't allowed to close those doors to have time for yourself. And so what did boundaries, and if you did, or if you did say, hey, like I need some time to, how did people react to you, mm-hmm. right? Did they get angry at you? Did they say you're not allowed to do that? Did you get punished? And so what were the consequences growing up about from you setting boundaries to take care of yourself? Or maybe how did you see that in other people too? What was happening with your parents? How were they setting boundaries?
And it even goes, let's even go younger than that. Yeah. Let's go from when you were a little kid and you said to your parents, like, no, I'm full. And they said, no, you have to finish your plate.
Mm.
Right. So at a really young age, a lot of us are taught to not trust our bodies. Right. Let's say I didn't feel comfortable around like a certain uncle that I had. And my mom said, no, you have to give him a kiss and a hug. We often teach children very, very young to not listen to their bodies and intuition. And that's another thing to keep in mind is like, if I was my family where I had to clean my plate because there's food scarcity, right? Like, let's say I grew up in a family where we didn't always know where our next meal was, or we like, right? Like, then like you become like, you always have to clean that plate. You always have to have that. And so that is that like really, you learn to not listen to your body of when it's full, of when it feels safe, right? If I like was from a family where it was necessary that every single night I had to kiss and hug my parents, even if I didn't want to in that moment, let's say I was having changes with my body, I felt sick, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. I didn't want to, but it was the rule. Sometimes we're taught that the rules of the family matter more than us. And that's a cultural thing too, right? And we're not really here to talk about what's right versus wrong. We're just talking about how shit could affect you.
And how you have the ability to question it, right? So like if we have those rules growing up, we just believe, we grow up believing this is how things are. And we don't really take the time to question it. So you actually do have the ability to question those rules, right? Because we grow up and we bring those rules into adulthood. And, you know, when we're children, our survival mechanism is our connection with our parents, right? We don't have control over what we do or the people taking care of us.
Yeah, caregivers, yeah.
Have to be our parents' caregivers. And so we can't take care of ourselves at that point. And so our ways in which we survive is to keep connected with our parents. And so if our parents have those rules or if our caregivers have those rules, then that's our means of survival. And when we grow into adulthood, we hold on to those means of survival, things that were once helpful for us that end up being hurtful for us in adulthood. So those diffuse boundaries or those rules that you grew up with aren't helping you anymore. Right? Mm-hmm. There, for you to take the time to take care of yourself now produces this guilt because it was never allowed in your family growing up.
Mm-hmm. So the thing you want to remember from that is the things that you learn to survive are not always the things that help you thrive.
Right.
Right. If we want to break it down to one sentence for you. Right.
Write that down.
Yeah. Nikki, write that in the Nikki, episode
write
notes.
Write that down.
This is the thing. People, like a few people keep asking Jen, like, are you guys going to write a book? We're not.
Horrible writing.
We cannot write. We can talk all day long, but someone else has to write it down. For I don't know what it is about our brains. We don't go the other way.
Nope. No, we do not. It no. is very hard. When we had to write papers in grad school, oh my God.
I have to write a paper right now. I'm doing this additional certification. You guys should see me write a paper now. It's the funniest thing. I mean, we can talk, but we can't write. So to think about that, right? What are the things that I developed to survive and how are they getting in the way with my ability to thrive now? And let's actually segue into another question now that goes into this as we talk about families. Somebody wrote in and said, I'm needing some more support around coping with opinions and judgments of others. This is a really tough one because once again, it's about going deeper and like, why are those things so important to me? For a lot of us, if we got a ton of external reassurance and external reinforcement, we really thrive on that. So like we almost need people to agree with us.
Like, almost becomes
our inner world so much.
Right. It like becomes part of our identity, right? Like my identity has been built around getting this positive reinforcement from others.
Yes.
And so if that's the case, then getting some sort of opinions or judgments that is going, if you don't have a fully formed sense of self for just who you are, then that is going to be really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So that's something to think about is how much do those opinions and judgments affect you and what did they trigger for you? Like, are there any specific feelings that they're bringing up for you in terms
Absolutely.
Of, do you not feel good enough? Do you feel rejected? Do you like, is there anything specific that it's bringing up for you to really recognize that?
Yeah. Well, and it goes into like this other thing of like, once again, did I need it to survive, right? If I was, let's say I was a Black woman and I grew up in like the Midwest surrounded by like a ton of white people, did I need to adapt to their culture and forego my own to be able to survive in this situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the function behind needing to get other people's approval? For some people, culturally, it is not an option.
Right.
It is a life or death, right? So when we talk about this stuff, like, I want to, like, just first normalize, like, you're not silly or stupid for wanting other people's, like, you know, approval.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. It means you want love. It means you want attachment. It means you want connection. It means you're human.
Mm-hmm.
And still, we have to say, but what is getting in the way of me and my ability to thrive and live?
And we are biologically programmed to want to be included and part of a group. And so, you know, that feeling of like when you feel left out, right? If you see like friends are hanging out and you weren't invited, like that anxiety that comes with that, that rejection, that we are biologically programmed for that anxiety to be brought up in those situations, because we are safer, right? If you go back into caveman times, when this anxiety started to develop from an evolutionary perspective, that we are programmed to feel safer when we are part of a group. And so when we are not part of a group and we feel rejected and we're feeling like we're not included or someone's judging us, that we're programmed to, for that anxiety to come up. So the first thing we would say is first recognize it, recognize what's coming up for you. Right? Ask yourself questions about it. What does this feel like for me? How is this affecting me? And how do I want to process this? And how do I want to deal with it?
Yeah. I mean, let's look at indigenous cultures, right? It's about living in a community. It's about living in a tribe. It's about living in a collection of people, right? This is our whitewashed individualistic side of it, right? And it's kind of just where we're at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, and something we talk about a lot is that other people's opinions and judgments are really more about them and what is going on for them, right? And so just because one person believes something about you doesn't mean you have to take that on as truth.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't mean you have to take that in and say, oh, because this person believes this, this must be true. People are also seeing you through their own lens, right? That lens that has been created over their years and years of living. Mm-hmm. And so just because one person sees you one way doesn't mean you have to see yourself in the same way.
Well, and it goes to this idea of like let's say I grew up in a home with a highly critical mother. There's a good chance I then end up in some relationships with some highly critical people, because that's
or
my
you're highly critical, or I
become highly critical, right? Yes. But like our normal is what we're used to. There isn't one normal. My normal is like what I have experienced in my life. That's my specific normal, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm used to being like highly criticized, I can probably handle it. So if I'll end up in a partner and other people are like, why do you take that shit from them? And you're like, what do you mean? It's not that bad. And they're like, oh, fuck, maybe it is.
Right.
Right. If other people are telling me this is problematic, maybe they're seeing something that I'm not, because my subconscious is attracted to my normal.
Right.
Or,
and it's, I was going to say, it's just hard, you know, even though we might be in situations that aren't healthy for us because they feel comfortable, our psyche wants to be in situations that feel comfortable to us. And sometimes we grow up in unhealthy situations. And so we get pulled towards unhealthy situations that feel comfortable for us. And so just because something is comfortable doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy.
And oh my gosh, well, in a few weeks, we have an amazing hypnotherapist coming on.
I'm so excited, right?
But that's something like people are starting to like take this approach of like, oh, well, like I actually like genuinely need to experience hypnotherapy to like to get out of this specific mindset, right? And like we said on the show, we don't believe there's one right way to heal. It's whatever works for you.
Absolutely.
So I want you all to take from this episode, like, think about this, right? Think about what's the function between my anxiety, the function behind my people pleasing, the function behind my need to, I was going to say please others. Give me another one. Oh, I already said people pleasing. My function behind all my shit. What the fuck is happening?
There you go. That's perfect. That was good. That's good all reframe.
I read this thing the other day. It was like the most gender neutral term is fuckers. It was like, instead of being like, hey guys, how are you? Like,
say, hey fuckers. I say, hey guys a lot. And that is not,
it's not,
neutral.
Yeah. And I, yeah, you to have to stop that. Yeah.
I
it's
know.
Not inclusive.
I really need to change it.
A lot of people don't relate. Yeah.
But like, if I say, hey fuckers to everyone, it just feels not, a little aggressive. It feels a little aggressive, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely like putting all your cards out there at once.
Hey fuckers, right? You're just like really starting off a conversation harshly. I think we should start the episodes like that now. Instead of saying welcome to Shrink Chicks, we'll be like, hey fuckers, what's up?
We're literally just being the meanest therapist in the world.
Terrible.
We won't be Shrink Chicks. We'll just be mean.
Assholes.
I don't know what else. Assholes.
All right. Guys, we won't do that to you.
We won't do that. Yeah, we won't. We don't know what's happening. Things have really fucked us again here.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's it. Hey, so that was our Q&A. We only wanted to do four because we wanted to be able to go like a little deeper with some of these. But if any of this related to you or you want some more information, let us know and I've always sent it out. Next week's episode is about cults.
Oh my God. I was really hoping, I was thinking in my head, I have no clue what next week episode is.
We have an amazing expert about leaving cults or leaving, you know, hyper-religious situations or something like that. So we're going to go all into that.
Really deep into that.
Because who doesn't want to know more about what, but it's an interesting thing. What keeps us in a place where we don't feel valued? We could name it a cult. We could name it in an unhealthy relationship. We can name it for a lot of us in a bad work environment.
And similar to cults, I mean, this is probably something I'm going to say then, like, you don't know you're entering into a cult when you enter into it.
You're looking for community.
You're entering into an unhealthy relationship when you're entering into it.
Well,
you know,
and it really does. It's about this thing you talked about like, you know, we are biologically meant to be in communities. And so that's how it's really easy to get sucked into community, because we're all just looking to be loved and belong.
Especially now when we're all so separate. So it makes sense.
Yes.
Makes sense. Listen, that was our episode. Thank you for sticking with us. We really appreciate it. Once again, send this to someone if you think it might be helpful for them. Like, subscribe, let us know if you didn't like this episode. Shoot us over at Annie. We appreciate you so much and we hope you're taking good care of yourselves.
Thanks for being here. We love you.
Love you.